This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
I want to talk to you tonight. There's a couple of scriptures in the Word where the word whatever is used. And it's interesting because whatever is kind of a, you know, when you guys did a raising kids, and I don't know if they still say it, but I remember my girls when they were younger, I'd be messing with them or I'd tell them to do something. They'd say, well, whatever. And it'd be like, wait a second, that you gotta be careful because that whatever, it can be misused and be derogatory or dishonorable. But it also, listen, the whatever part side of God is just when the Word of God uses that term whatever, man, our life goes from being to this, where it's just immense. It's just crazy. And I just want you to know that the gospel, that just the purity of God's word, the good news, that the gospel, man, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. But you know what? It demands everything. And see, that's the big key. Man, this church, the adage of the word is that, man, we want you to come as you are. But listen, it's God's heart for you not to stay the way you are. No matter how long it's been since you've been serving God, you've given your life to the Lord, this has got to be fresh, and you got to look at it like it's brand new, because that's what God wants it to be. God doesn't want you to get bored with this because you're going to go through times that, man, there might be dry seasons of your life where, man, you don't hear God's voice very clearly, and man, His light's not shining very brightly in your life, and that's all determined by the gospel, the good news, His word. The Bible says this, and you can write it down. The Bible says that the entrance of His word brings light. If there's a dark area in your life, the entrance of His word brings light. It lightens your life up. It lightens your load up. Man, Jesus said, man, take on my yoke. Put my yoke on you. Man, my yoke's easy. My burden's light. Man, any of you guys, Jesus said, look, all of you who are weak and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Man, rest is the opposite of anxiety. Rest is the opposite of insecurity and inhibition and fear and depression. Man, He'll give you rest. It's rest for your soul. Paul said, though I'm pressed from every side, I receive no pressure in my heart. See, it's interesting because with the Lord, I take what the Word promises to me literally. I do. Okay, and I know it's mine. I know it was targeted for me. And the Bible says that we're the apple of His eye. I know that I'm the apple of His eye and that He targets His promise to me in my life. And I look at this and I think, you know, this is amazing, because anytime I get my eyes off of His word or off of His promise, man, things start to get dim. Things get a little heavier. The world gets a little weightier. And what we've got to understand is Jesus saying, look, take my yoke. Take what I'm teaching you upon you. He said, look, it'll be easy. His burden will be light. Man, if you're carrying a heavy burden, man, I'm telling you, you've got to bring light. You've got to bring God's word into the situation. And that's why these Wednesday nights are so important to me as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a leader in the church. It's important to me on Wednesday nights because it's just another opportunity to bring the light into people's lives. And we can't let this become mundane, because what happens is when that happens, is things get out of order in our lives. You know, there's so many times that marriages break up just because things get out of order. You know, you start arguing about money. Well, what happens is when you focus on money and you begin to argue about money in your home, man, it's so, you have to understand that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so when we start arguing it and we take sides on it and we butt heads over it, and I'm not talking about, man, being in a momentary disagreement about it. See, I'm just telling you, before you make a major purchase, and I don't even remember, Sandy, what that amount is. That there used to, when we first got married, there was an amount, and Sandy and I would agree if anything exceeded that amount, and it was like $100 or something. Something, it wasn't very much money, but we'd come into agreement on it. And you know what? What it did is that it brought this element into our lives where we've never bounced a check and we've never been late on a payment. There's always been margins. There was a year that I had $7,000 of taxable income right before we started the church. $7,000 that year is what I made. Man, I'm out on the street preaching. I'm cleaning up after construction crews. I'm dragging rebar for guys. But the whole idea of that was, man, during that whole year, we never were late on a payment. It wasn't like we didn't have any money. It wasn't like we were poor or that we were broke, or we never had that kind of mentality. I think we went on two incredible vacations that year. But see, you've got to look at your life and you've got to understand it's the perspective that you take on your life. But listen, it's the order that you put things in. There's a divine order to things. Do you guys understand that? Do you understand that when you breathe the air in, that your body's taking in oxygen? When you exhale, that it's completely different what you exhale. Why? Because there's an order. There's what you bring in and what you give off. And see, what we've got to do is we've got to understand that there is that order. And what God's promise does is it keeps things in a divine order in our lives. It's so important to have that. Matthew 6:33 makes it really simple, where Jesus says, look, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he's talking about all the things that the Gentiles are seeking. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, we've got to look at this. Why? Because that puts things in order. If you're wondering what the order is, it's seeking God first. And in doing this, I want to look at in the book of Colossians, a couple times where Paul refers and uses the word whatever. Now listen to this. And there's times I read the word and I think it's so amazing. I got to think that the Apostle Paul, after he penned a few of those letters and he got them going and he was getting ready to send them and he's rereading them and he's thinking, oh my gosh, this is powerful. Man, this is amazing. I can't believe this came from me. I can't believe this was in me. But in Colossians, the 3rd chapter in the 17th verse, he writes and says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything that you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. A few verses later, 23 and 24, and whatever you do, listen to this, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Man, some of you guys have jobs that you don't appreciate, don't love. I'm just telling you, man, you've got to watch your attitude. You don't have to love your job, but let me just tell you, you have to do it heartily as of unto the Lord and not unto men. You might say, well, I don't like my boss. My boss isn't fair. My boss uses all the people. No, let me tell you, you work as of unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, this is pivotal. Because what's going to happen is you'll go to lunch with your colleagues and this is how you have to look at it. You have to look at it that your life is your ministry and your job is your sermon. That's really how you have to look at it. That's how I look at it. My job's my sermon. And you know what? My colleagues are my congregation. Man, you think about your life. You think, if you're on staff here at the church, man, your colleagues or your congregation, minister life to them. Always have life coming out of your mouth. Always don't entertain conversation that's negative about other people, especially if they're not around. Because you know what that is? That's gossip. And you know what gossip will do? If you just receive it by omission, it goes from the speaker's lips to the innermost part of the hearer's heart. Man, and you know what? The innermost part of your heart is God's. See, that's how you have to look at it. You can't listen to tale-bearing or gossip about people that aren't around. No matter how juicy it is, no matter how, well, everybody's doing it. Man, my goodness, you used that when you were 7 years old. You can't use that now. Well, everybody's doing it. No, you know what? You can't be party to it. Why? Because we go back to Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Man, the Bible says, man, don't worry saying. The Bible says to do all things without murmuring or complaining, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. But there's things that are in your life that's easy to complain about. But you know what? You have to do all things without complaining. Why? You work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Man, some of you guys, you'll say, well, my husband isn't serving God. Some of you girls, my husband's not serving God. Man, he doesn't go to church. And you know what? Man, there's people that say, well, you just need to leave your husband. No, the Bible doesn't say that. No, the Bible says, no, you treat your husband honorably. And you live for the Lord, and your life will win him over. See, we've got to look at what the kingdom is about, God's way of doing things, and not our way. And what'll happen is there'll be a divine order that'll hit your life. And I'm just telling you, man, that's where the multiplication of God comes in. Man, if it's just a little bit of blessing here and a little bit of blessing, and it's just added a little bit, man, you think that there's something that's keeping that flow of blessing. And I believe it becomes disorder. Man, the Bible talks about us doing things orderly, that God's a God of order. Man, there's things that the world would say, well, that's not that big a deal, but we're not of the world anymore. We're in it, but we're not of it. And we have to have that order that's in our lives. And whatever you do, in word or deed, you do it heartily as of unto the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, you get to the place that what Pastor Sandy and I preach, and she did a great job talking about it in that pastor's roundtable, to get to the last 5%. Because see, our society, man, they'll pass you if you get a 70 or above and it's just good enough. You got by. But you know what, man, this life isn't just about pass-fail. This life, seriously, is about us being those people that, you know what, man, living that 95, 96, 97, 98, 99% life. Get to that last 5%. You know what? You could get there if you do things heartily as of unto the Lord. Man, if you were, you know, if you mow lawns for a living, what if you were mowing God's lawn? If you're mowing the Lord's lawn, how would you mow that? Man, I'll tell you, I know the young man who goes to the church that mows my lawn, man, he mows different angles. Man, a lot of times my yard will look like a fairway, it'll look like the outfield at the World Series. And you know why? Because of the honor that's in his life, and that's the order that we have to take. Whether we're doing something around the house as men, some honeydews, or whether you're doing something for your employer. You know, it's interesting, but you know how Jesus and we've got to be people that live a second mile life. Let me put this into context for you. If your employer asks you to work 8 hours for pay, man, the second mile becomes 16 hours. Now, I'm not telling you to put in all that free overtime, but I am telling you that, man, we've got to be people that we keep our head up and we keep our eyes open and we make sure that the job is done right before we expect to get paid for it or before we expect to clock out. Where we're clocking out and leaving. And I'll tell you, so much of ministry, I'll just tell you what it is. The Bible says where there are no oxen, the stall's clean. That so much of ministry is just helping people clean up the mess they made in their life. Well, what we don't want to be as ministers are people that are making messes for other people in their lives. Man, I tell you, it's not honoring my wife for me just to expect her to pick up my socks all the time, no matter where they are. And trust me, I'll leave socks around. But you know what? I've got to understand that I'm working as of unto the Lord and not unto men. That it glorifies God. The attitude of our heart. It's not what you do. Man, some of you guys, I'm telling you, reach so many more people face to face than I ever will. Man, I remember when before Guts Church became more of a household name around town, I could go and minister to people. I could go to pool halls and back alleys and parking lots and out on the street, just pray with people and minister to them. Man, now it's a little more difficult. It's not as covert. I can't go up to them and them be shocked that I want to pray with them. Now they expect it because it's what I get paid to do. Man, you think about the impact of your life if you really truly repented. If you really truly just thought, you know what, man, I'm going to fill my truck with the praise of God, and I'm going to change the atmosphere of my life before I walk into that workplace. Man, what if you sat in your truck, you got there 15 minutes early, and you just sat in your truck and you just fellowship with God, and you know what, man, you just poured over the people and the projects and the work that was being done in that workplace. Because I'll tell you what God's called us to do is change the atmosphere. Man, if the world needs the church to be strong, to be potent. Man, the church, we need to be aggressive in our love and in bringing peace to situations. Because let me tell you, people are not being treated fairly out there. Neither side is. Everyone's got an axe to grind. Everyone has a case to be made. But you know what? We don't come with a sword and a spear. We come with in the name of the Lord of hosts. Man, we live our lives heartily as of unto the Lord. And you know what it does? It starts to bring a little bit of order to the situation. In Proverbs 3, it's very well known, but the first six verses says, "My son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Man, you're worried about your life. And that word peace there in your Bible, write prosperity over the top of it. It's synonymous in the Hebrew. Peace and prosperity are synonymous. And see, we've got to look at this. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor. Now listen, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Let me tell you, if there is one thing that you could say, hey, Shear, what do you want? Man, if you're gonna set out tomorrow and you're gonna start a business, or you're gonna start a ministry, or you're gonna start a church, or there's one thing that you could ask me for. I'll tell you, Solomon would hit the nail on the head. He said, wisdom, and I want understanding. Because let me tell you, with wisdom and understanding comes favor. And when God's favor is upon your life, and what does it say there? It says, take his word and write it on the tablet, man, bind it around your neck. And then what? And then you'll find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and whom? Man. But how's the order? It's God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Man, you might say, well, no, my boss doesn't. Man, my boss hates me. No, let me just tell you, your boss may have an issue that you can help him with. It may have nothing to do with you. But you know what? For us, everything's so personal. He didn't say hi to me. I didn't get the raise. He passed over the promotion, passed me by. Well, let me just tell you, promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. It doesn't come laterally. It comes from above. The only real promotion that's going to bring blessing in your life comes from your Father. And see, that's how we have to look at it. Man, if you think you're stuck in a dead-end job and you've been griping about it, that's no way to get out of it. I'll tell you what you do. You honor God. You work heartily as of unto the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When God's direction is on your life, just think about it. You're going to find favor and high esteem with God and man. God's going to begin to direct your paths. And you know what I love about this? It doesn't say your path. It says your paths. It's not this one-dimensional, singular life that, no, you know what? Man, it's a life that you get in the left lane and you're able to live to the fullest and the tempo of your life increases to where, man, the passive aggressiveness that you used to operate in doesn't work now. Because I believe that your paths in life are your destiny. And I don't believe that there's any kind of mystery at all to destiny. I think it's all about the decisions that you make. You know, there's people that'll talk about generational curses. There's people that'll say, you know, that, man, if your granddaddy and your daddy were something, then my gosh, it's in your genes and in your DNA that that's going to be you. And let me just help you. I believe that there is a generational curse by choice. I believe there's generational choice. Man, I'm telling you, there's things that Sandy and I got married. And I think she was pregnant with Taylor, and we began to pray, and we just went to God and said, God, man, God, we thank you for your blessing upon this child. Man, I thank you. This child's going to be blessed and highly favored. God, I thank you that your hand's on this baby's life. And we didn't find out, but I knew it was a he. Really, I knew Brooklyn was a he too, but I had everything going, man. There's people who say, man, you can believe God. All you got to do is get out in front of it and confess it and believe it. I did that. Dadgum, I got a girl. I'm starting to like her. She's 25. But, man, we started believing that. And then you know what? I'm listening to Sandy praying, and she begins to bind things up that are in my family tree and her family tree and things that this is not gonna be passed to our child. And I'm just telling you, I believe that the life of God's activated then. Man, because the Bible says this, whatever you bind on earth will be loosed, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And you know what? We just came into agreement. And I believe those generational curses became choices for us to take to go to generational blessings. And I that's a freebie. That wasn't in my notes, but I think it's important that your destiny, it's not a mystery. It's a decision. Man, God wants to direct your paths. And it's a decision for you to follow after in his word. And you could, there's a chance. Can you be one decision away from a blessed life? Man, for your life just to flip into blessing, can you be one decision from that? Because I believe that you can. I believe you can make a decision tonight that'll turn your life into blessing. In the twinkling of an eye is what the Bible says. It's all conditional on order and our order. Take responsibility for the order that your life's in. Because I believe that your life is a product of your order on how you prioritize things. It's very difficult for me to balance everything in my life. Very difficult. But you know what? It's not difficult for me to put things into order, to prioritize things. And you know what? We've got to keep God first. We've got to seek God first. So is your life a product of divine order? That's really the question that you have to ask yourself tonight. And I want to look at Matthew 6:33 again and just take a couple minutes here tonight as we close and just kind of unpack this verse. Matthew 6:33, just kind of unpack it a little bit, okay? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Man, number one here is but. Now, let me tell you, in our vernacular, in our language, somebody will say, oh my gosh, man, I love that meal, and man, it was so great. But, okay, you could basically delete everything that was said before that person said but. And you know what? That's what you can do tonight in your life. Man, everything that's been said, everything that's been done in your life, I'm telling you, you can hit delete just by this verse, just by saying but. Okay, now, everything of no consequence, anything that was said before that or done before that, and now you're starting off new. So number two, you seek first his righteousness. Man, his kingdom, God's way of doing things, God's way of doing and being right. See, I've got a way that I want to be right. I got a way that I want to do what's right. But you know what? It conflicts with how God thinks and what God has to say about being and doing right. See, so number one is but. Everything's deleted that's happened up to that point. Number two, seek first God's way of living and doing right things. Man, it's that easy. And then you go to number three. Number three is this, and it goes back to the whatevers, the two whatevers from Colossians. Whatever you do, do it heartily as of unto the Lord. But number three is real simple. Number three, it just says, all these things are added to your life. All these things are added to your life. The things, you look back and look in the previous verses of Matthew 6, and the previous verses say the things that Gentiles are seeking. God doesn't want you left out. God, I believe that God has the best in store for you unless you're seeking that. Man, if you're seeking him, and if you look at that word seek in the original Greek, you look at that word seek, it's amazing. It's doing extensive research and contractually agreeing on it. Is that word seek there? It's not just, hey, I'm looking for God first, and you know, I'm gonna seek God first, and I'm gonna make my decision. God, I thank you that you're gonna bless this decision that I'm making. No, you know what? It's that you enter into a contract with God on it. Man, God's provision in our life, God's health in our life, God's peace in our life, his prosperity in our life. I don't want the prosperity the world gives. Jesus said, man, the prosperity that I give is not like the way the world gives it. Man, there's no strings attached. It's gonna set you free is what it's gonna do. You know, the prosperity of the world, all it does is bind you up. Trust me, I've known very, very wealthy people that could never get free of things. So you know what? It just shows you. Man, it just shows you that the prosperity of the world is not the prosperity we want. Man, the prosperity that I want is the prosperity that Jesus leaves me. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give. Man, why? Because there's no strings attached to it. There's liberty and there's freedom in what Jesus gives us, the promise that God makes to us. Man, number three, and all these things will be added to your life. But you know what you've got to do? You've got to delete everything that's happened up till now. You can't trust in the old theorems, the old way that you did things. And you got to look at this now that God wants to do something new in your life.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.